Keep up, please, and follow me. Quickly now, come on. Come on.
Don't dawdle. Hurry up!
I will quickly discover the truth of all this.
Quickly! Follow the trail!
Move it up! Hustle it up! Quickly!
All right, it's time to finish up our look at everybody's favorite topic, which is humanity. We've moved from nature, and now it's time to talk about function. And it's really easy. Excuse me. It's really easy with like God to talk about the work of God. It's a little harder to talk about the work of humanity, though, because it's an odd way of phrasing it, and because our nature always is going to influence what we do. So rather than talk about work, I'd rather talk about the function. I know the words mean basically the same thing, but the way it is supposed to be versus the way it actually is. And we're actually going to cover that in different order. So remember, function flows from nature, which is complicated for people because when humanity talks about its nature, we have a hard time differentiating from the should be of our nature to the what it is of our nature, meaning we would all like to think we're better than we really are, and we would all like to think humanity is better than it really is. So what ends up happening here? Because humanity has a fallen nature, we have a broken actual function, meaning we have a sinful selfishness abounding in every avenue of our lives, and that sinfulness is primarily, I did not say totally, but is primarily grounded in idolatry. Because we have placed something other than God in the center of our universe, typically ourselves, but because we have done that, we cannot help but have a disordered work and function in this world because we're serving the wrong thing. We're not serving the source of life. We're not following the precepts and dictates that he has handed down. Therefore, we have a broken map that's leading us through a broken world, and it doesn't actually tell us how to get anywhere. And then we're surprised when what we do and where we land is horrid by default, basically. So, fallenness of nature is vital in understanding what you see of the world around you. And this is, again, why you have to talk about nature before you talk about work. You look out at the world around you and go, well, why are they like that? Because they're sinners. Now, because you have that attitude, and because you recognize that truth about humanity, you have immediately removed self-righteousness, both from yourself and from everyone around you. And here's what I mean by that. You removed it from yourself because you do not stand in your goodness because of anything that is innate to you, because what is innate to you is what is innate to all of the rest of humanity, which is sin. Rather, you have an alien righteousness. And again, this is all stuff we're going to get to when we get to Christology and soteriology. But because you have an alien righteousness, you do not claim a moral high ground because of your work and accomplishment. Rather, you point to the one who is the source of life and goodness, which is God. But you also remove self-righteousness from them as well, meaning the world, because we recognize what humanity is, does not get to sit there and say, well, but I'm good because I'm doing this. No, you're not. You're a sinner, and unless you are saved by the grace of God and you have had your desires reoriented, you are producing sin in sinful ways. Therefore, you have no possibility of attaining righteousness. Now, this is important because this understanding of our work and our nature compounds our dependence. See, we mentioned in nature that humanity is dependent for life. We are not independent beings in that regard. But because of our fallen nature, and because the actual function of that fallen nature is fallen, we are not just dependent for life, but we are dependent for the goodness of God as well. Remember the goodness versus greatness attributes? So things like integrity, morality, love. So an understanding of what is just and righteous and good and caring, and all of those things are only possible as they are defined not in us, but as they are defined in God, because that's the only place they can be found, which is, again, why salvation has to be what it is, because we don't have any standards for justice. We don't have any standards for faithfulness. So the great example of this is, so look at morality. Why do we care about veracity, the understanding of truthfulness? Why is it bad to lie? And you're stopping and you're thinking, and you're going, well, I don't really know. Well, now stop, because some of you are giving me an answer. I know you are. But if your answer starts with God, I need you to stop and give me an answer that doesn't start with God. See, I'm letting you think because you're not going to find a good one. If you tell me it's bad for society, why do I care? If you tell me it's bad for my neighbor, why do I care? If I get to be the source of my righteousness and I get to be the source of my definitions and what I am understanding is good, then who cares how it affects him? I only care how it affects me. Welcome to the world you live in the 21st century. Welcome to the hyper-individualism and what it creates. And it is a root that comes out of our fallen nature. It is a dependent humanity trying to shrug off its dependence and not really having a valid way or rationale behind which they can do it. So, beyond just the disordered nature of work, you also have the function of humanity disordered in thought. So a big fancy term for this is the noetic effect of the fall, that your rational mind, sorry, Thomas Aquinas, your rational mind is fallen and needs to be regenerated. This is, again, why things like Romans 12 and Ephesians 4 and 5 are the calls that they are, to have you renew your mind in the way you think and to have you think on godly things. Because without the work of God, you are relegated to a fallen state, into a fallen thought process, and your very function is broken. Now, this is why I said we wanted to use the word function and not just work, because when I say work, you only think of outward things. Function, though, begins on the inside. And humanity's actual function in the world is that of sinfulness. It is that of disordered desires leading to disordered thoughts, which lead to disordered actions. And if you don't believe me on the disordered desires thing, do you ever wonder why we've become such a hyper-sexualized culture? The answer is because we like it, because we enjoy it, because it's what we want. It's what makes us, wait for it, what's the big word? Happy. Therefore, you have to give that to me, and you have to allow this. And if you try to speak against it or explain to me how this hypersexualization of humanity is bad, now the problem becomes you. Not my desires, not my thought process, not my hopes, but you. You are the problem because you are now denying me. So this is, again, why understanding the fallen nature of humanity eliminates self-righteousness, and we have to see the world in that manner. So there's the bad news. That was bad enough, right? So in Christ, and going back to the good garden, what was the should've function of humanity? And this is one of those things that we don't have time for this. I know we don't. But we're going to give it to you rapid-fire style, just because it's so very important to understanding your place in the world. We have what I would like to call a typological function. The what should have been is what is fulfilled in Christ. And again, we'll get to a lot more of this when we get to Christology. But the threefold function that God ordained. So go back to the garden, right? So go back to pre-fall. What do you have? You have humanity given what? Given dominion. This is the king role. You're to rule over the critters and the ground and actually cultivate and care for it. You're in charge of it. It obeys you, the creation. You are supposed to live, though, that life doing what? Extending that dominion unto the glory of God. So what's the chief end of men? To glorify God and enjoy Him forever. What does that renewing of mind create in you? An understanding and testing of the will of God so that you may offer yourself as a sacrifice. So again, same ideas that you get from Romans 12, you'll also get in Ephesians 4 and 5. But as you are being fruitful and multiplying, in order for that work to occur properly, you're going to have to extend it beyond yourself, meaning you're going to have to teach that work, which means you're going to have to function in the role of the prophet. So unfallen humanity was supposed to be prophet, priest, and king, the threefold offices of Christ. Typological function is what is being restored for the Christian in the work of the Holy Spirit in the world. So this is what Christ restores, obviously, but this is what he fulfills. But Christian, as you're being sanctified, this is what your work is supposed to look like. So whereas actual function is sinful and focused on idolatry, your priestly function, as it is sanctified, is an offering of your entire life unto God, which means not that you or some other idol is at the center of your universe, but God is rightly at the center of your universe. You are being a good priest, offering your sacrifice daily, as Christ would tell you, taking up your cross daily and following after him. Now, as you are doing that work, what does my sacrifice look like? Well, it looks like the command of the Great Commission. Go and make disciples. In other words, being fruitful and multiplying does not just mean in the physical sense. It also means in the intellectual and spiritual sense. So I'm operating as the prophet, declaring the word of God, offering of myself, living out the word of God, and being faithful unto the God who is the center of my existence, so that as I am the good priest giving my offering, I am the good prophet communicating the truth of this good and great God accurately. And because I have done that, excuse me, I am warring against sin, casting it out of the dark places as I find it, shining the light of Christ, meaning I am operating in my own heart, mind, and life as the king, extending dominion. Why? Because Christ is the king who rules and reigns over all of life, especially the household of faith. Therefore, as he rules and reigns in my life, I rule and reign over my sin, over my disordered desires. I now operate dependent, not just for life, but dependent on God for my integrity, for my understanding of righteousness and justice, understand my dependence in morality, understanding what it means to be faithful, true and good, and for my understanding of love, how I have grace, mercy, and therefore peace in this world. These are the things that I am extending. This is, remember, what a good government is supposed to do. The government is synonymous with being the king, right? Your Romans 13 good government is supposed to do what? Punish evil, reward good. This is what your integrity and morality, your goodness as it comes from God, is supposed to do as you extend the reign of Christ in your life. This is what sanctification is supposed to accomplish. So again, the typological function is the sanctified function that operates in opposition to what the actual functions of sinful humanity really are. This is again why it's important to see the brokenness of humanity in the world as they are lost in their sin, because you need to know what it actually is that you're warring against. And again, this is why we always start with our biblical understanding in theology. My good life is defined by God and his word. My outworking of that is defined by God and his word. So again, as God rightly reigns, I recognize that reign, which means as I rightly apply that, I am holding to the good and righteous perfect standard that God has ordained, and I am rejecting the did God really say standard that the world would have me to cling to. So that's the typological function in a nutshell. So there you go. Reminders. So let's recap this super fast because I actually have a little bit of time left. So your function flows from your nature, which means we have to differentiate from the should versus the actual nature of humanity. The actual nature of humanity is broken and sinful and engaged in idolatry. Therefore, it, even though it is dependent, it rejects its dependence for its integrity, its morality, and its love, its goodness. However, in Christ, we recognize the brokenness of humanity, we cling to the rule and reign of God, and we therefore extend that right goodness as we give ourselves as offerings as priests, rightly communicate the truth of God as good prophets, and extend the rule of God as the under-kings of his good creation. And again, all of this is possible, as I've been threatening you for the last 2 weeks, because Christ has made it so. And that's where we will get to next time. So until we meet again, read your Bible. It'll do you good. Bye.